Last night, Mother Uttama asked me a question.
You really wanted to hear that answer.
I couldn't doubt. But then I talked later with Balakrishna Prabhu, and he gave me some background of what the question entailed, had to do, or somehow it's connected with one paper called
The
Yale
Paper. Prominent Link.
Yale Paper?
Prominent Link.
Okay, that was it. I've never read the paper. I just heard something of the conclusion, etc. And I only yesterday heard something about who authored the paper, mm-hmm. what the individual's history in Krishna consciousness was. Anyway, it seemed, or I've heard that at least a significant part of it, as it focuses on Srila Prabhupada as a prominent link, focuses on his books. So, you all recently had a visit from Bodhaya Maharaj, and you can be the judge of it. Is there any Krishna consciousness in him? Does he have anything to say about Krishna or anything? You figure it out yourself and figure if it is. And if the answer is yes, well, then that paper, the prominent link, doesn't apply to him at all, because his Krishna consciousness does not come from reading Srila Prabhupada's books, listening to Prabhupada's tapes, seeing Prabhupada's videos, or nothing. I assume, he's a good friend of mine, actually. But I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but I assume that because he's preaching in the West and things, he's given classes from Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita and things like this. But he's never read the Bhagavatam. And even if you never read the Bhagavatam, if you're an older devotee, you sat there and went to Bhagavatam class every day for 10 or 15 or 20 years. And you learned the Bhagavatam as it was preached from the purports and those who were purporting the purports. That's not how he heard his Krishna consciousness at all. So, whatever, the first thing would be, well, this paper gets categorized prominently for who? Then it just has to be, well, in the direct line of Srila Prabhupada. So then you could make a peaceful day by saying, yep, you're right. All the disciples of Prabhupada and all the grand disciples and all the grand disciples, everybody in that line, yep, this is a prominent link. Because without that link, you can't access anybody else in that line. It's a prominent link. But a disciple will also say, well, I don't think you can remove my link either. I don't think I do so well trying to stretch it out here 50 years or 100 years or 200 years. And I was making the point that if Mata has children, maybe they're at the age, children, you know, trying to keep them around, keep them interested. Sometimes you get very interested. The ones who get very interested are not going to go, hey, Ma, I got the books, okay? I ain't getting a shikshu. You don't have to say anything. They're going to be going, what's this mean? What's this? They're going to be asking. So the books are static. Although they're very dynamic, there's a dynamic that makes the books look static. And that's the person. The person who wrote the book, the spirit of the person, of what's in the book. And you can ask the author, what did you mean here? The book in one sense is incomplete. It didn't get finished. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also could not finish the Bhagavatam. He only purported up to somewhere in the 10th canto. And then some key verses he purported on in other writings and everything. He never systematically finished. There's only been ever a few acharyas, and they're from the olden days. Sridhar Swami from ancient times, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vallabhacharya finished the whole thing. And we don't accept his commentary. So, the point is that the book is a manifestation of the deity, of Krishna. The book is the writings of the Guru, a manifestation of the Guru. So why don't you just do Guru Puja to the book? Why do you do Guru Puja to the form? Why do you have the form of Radha and Krishna? Why don't you just have a Bhagavatam? Now once, I forget who it was, maybe it was Dayachakya, I'm not sure, but they wanted to have deities and travel. And Prabhupada said, no, you can offer arti to the books. You know? So, but you can imagine if they came back and said, somebody said, well, we need also a small set of deities for festival days and stuff like that. So, oh no, you can just put the Bhagavatam in their place. It'd be like, yeah, you could, but why would you want to do that? The deity exists for a purpose. And in one sense, the book and the deity and cleaning the bathroom and cleaning the altar may be non-different. But you better take a bath after you clean the bathroom before you clean the altar, because they are different. Isn't it? So there's, you know, these things are to be considered. And the book is one of the manifestations. It's the literary. Bhagavatam is literary manifestation of Krishna. And book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat, and this nice explanation is given there. These are important. Would you skip Prabhupada's class and stay back in your room and read the books, as you've done many times for other prabhus or sannyasis? You just kind of hang back, not go to class and read the books. Would you hang back and not go to class? Probably not. I mean, you could theoretically, depending. But moreover, you wouldn't. You would take opportunity. Srila Prabhupada even defines that just reading the books alone, he mentions it in the first canto, it's not sufficient. You have to read the books in the company of other Vaishnavas and discuss the philosophy. So if just the books were alone, he could have made cubicles for us all, like Zen monks, and put us in there with the books. So that doesn't even apply to us, direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada. It doesn't even apply. That just the books is all you need. That's not possible. You need the books. And if you start off with an isolation theory test, here's the books. This is all you need. And before I give you the books, I'll highlight where the books tell you everything else you need. And you'll come back out of the room if you're an honest seeking person and go, I need this, including another book. Do you have to have a copy of it? It seems that Prabhupada said, I need this, association of Vaishnavas. Are there any around? There is no Krishna consciousness if you go in a room and lock yourself in there with the books and live forever. It would be a hell, is what it would be. So, it's practical evidence is that there is no such thing as only the books. At least when we try to make that statement, a statement which will override all the other necessities and angas of devotion, then we have to clarify this is not a correct statement. If we know the balance, and we're balanced, then we can tell, for example, as I do, I tell my disciples, these books are all you need. That doesn't mean they don't need me, they don't need Vishnuraj, they don't need Jayadeva, they don't need any advice from their Vaishnava parents or anything like that. It means, in the realm of your study and research, these are all the books you need. All the answers are in there. But usually they come with long lists of questions, because you have a question. You might have to read six more volumes before you find the answer. But if you go to somebody who's already read, you know, the six volumes plus the 20 volumes, plus listened to the 1,500 tapes, plus all the lectures of Prabhupada and served him and did all these things, bingo, you might have your answer in 5 minutes. Or you might sit there and search the folio even and not get your answer. Or along the way, find something that's, oh God, what does this mean? Where Prabhupada talks about somebody or some instance or something like that. And on your way to find one answer, you'll come out with, you know, three or four more bewildering questions. Why this? Why this? Why did Prabhupada appoint fallible acharyas? Is still a question in some people's minds. I mean, that's the way they say it. That's not the way I say it. But that's the way they say it. And they suffer a lack of faith. Why did he do that? I know some people very, very personally. For many years, they suffer that. It's very, very hard for them to get beyond it. They can't. Somehow or another, from their sukriti, they just can't reason how this could happen. And I'm not about to spend the time, and then I am reading that paper either. Not because I'd be afraid to read it or something. I'm not a big reader, and I pointed out to Balakrishna, I said, you know, why should I spend time reading the paper of a person who doesn't have proper faith in his own guru, and he wants to write us about the prominent link, when by his own admission he's never ever met a Paramahansa? I met one fistful, about five, and none of them say like that. And we asked very pointed questions to Srila Sridhara Maharaj, Srila Puri Maharaj, and we witnessed things in Prabhupada, and questions were asked. You know, we looked at these pictures, you know, 1976, and somebody goes, Maharaj, you look so young there. It's like, yeah, we all look so young there. That's the fact. We were young then. And not only did we have young bodies, we had young minds, we had young passions, we had young intelligence. We were young in all regards. Why doesn't Srila Prabhupada have to take questions and answers? Because the questions were ridiculous. Now, we could probably, if we had the chance, and Prabhupada said, is there any questions? Well, you know, I mean, this couldn't happen, but we could probably ask some questions that he might be enlightened by. Maybe, maybe. Then, never. No, practically never. So I said, first off, when someone presents something that's just so different in any field of science, any field of learning and knowledge, and also in spiritual science, you present something like, say, the Rithvic philosophy, or this, which is not a Rithvic philosophy really, but it's something akin to it, the prominent link, or there was a time when if you had first initiation from Srila Prabhupada and took your mantra diksha from a god brother, you were told you are prominently your god brother's disciple. Isn't it right? They just continued for 14 years until the GBC released a paper that said, actually, if you got Harinam from Prabhupada, he's your prominent guru. For 14 years, it went like this. I know some people who went to the grave. And some of them went to the grave partially because of this misunderstanding. They became so confused and bewildered. But if they would have listened to people who had more experience and knew the Shastra and so many things, they would have never come to that conclusion. It was actually in a book for anyone to read, in Sri Guru and His Grace. It explained the relation between the Guru, the Guru's disciples, and a disciple who takes second initiation from a god brother because the Guru is not present. It explained it perfectly. It was very balanced. It was very close to what it is today, if that occurs today. The only difference is, today, people don't maintain very much respect for their god brothers and god sisters, particularly if they're a guru or a sannyasi, because they'll say things like, well, I'm his god brother. And Srila Shivanarish once said, he said, yes, a god brother may go to another god brother, and the big god brother is a guru, and the other god brother may go and give that guru a slap. So, a lot of people took that to mean, okay, we've got equal rights. But that big guru might knock your teeth down your throat after you give him a slap. You're together in a room. You give him a kick, he might give you a punch. And the fact is, I told people, look, the real situation, you're not equal. The real situation is das, 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 and das. You don't say you're equal to your god brother. This isn't an improvement from your last, you know, misunderstanding. I said, to tell you the truth, I used to live across the hall. I stayed across the hall from Srila Prabhupada, and I had a servant, and he was my godbrother. And every sannyasi in the movement had a servant, washed our clothes, cleaned our plate, and did our things, and they were all our godbrothers. And where did that come from? Srila Prabhupada said, this is the system. They should have a room, they should have a plate, they should have a servant. So we didn't just go make some bhakti servant. Usually a Brahmin, or sometimes, but not just a bhakta, servant of a sannyasi. It was never like that. Sometimes your best Sankirtan devotees in the early 70s, like the reward of their thing, they'd be able to travel and serve Hridayananda Maharaj or Vishnu Jan Swami. And there was a lot of affection and love between God brothers and God sisters at that level, willingness to do service, right? Now there's this, you know, we're all equal, and we're fooling ourselves. That's not spiritual life. I was going to write an article once called Call Me Prabhu. It's about but I didn't want to get all the women, liberated women attacking me, so I didn't write the article. But this, I'm equal, call me Prabhu, is just, well, say your previous situation was not right. Well, this one's also not right. In fact, this one's worse. This one's worse. In one position, you may have been, rudely dominated. In this other position, you're fooling yourself. We don't have this call me Prabhu. You know what happens to a sannyasi when he takes sannyas? He gets angry when someone calls him Prabhu. And he has to say, call me Maharaj. I've seen it for 27 years. New sannyasis and some, because everybody knows them. Oh, Bala Krishna Prabhu. And Bala Krishna Maharaj goes, call me Maharaj. But then they've got Jai Nityananda Prabhu. You can call God Prabhu. But if someone calls you prudent, that's a no-no. So all these little just struggles are there socially for many people. And now, you know, we want to change our position. So I say with humor and gist, yes, let the ladies stand up front. And 2 years from now, or 6 years from now, someone will say, why do we have to be up front? Why can't we be in the back? Everybody wants to change their position. There's one man named Frank wrote Prabhupada a letter in San Francisco and asked if he could have an operation and become a woman. So Prabhupada wrote back and said, make a choice and stick with it. This jumping back and forth is not good. So Frank became Francis. And I met her once in San Francisco. She came to our temple. And so he followed that instruction. I guess, you know, one of those people was she, and got tired of living with the wrong body and became a she and stuck with it. Okay, whatever. The point is, people are not satisfied really anywhere with this body. Some people think there's this boy in our ashram, and when you see his mother and father, you know why he's so small. His father was small, so when his uncle or grandfather got his father married, he had to find a small lady, right? So you got small kids. And he said, he was asking the other day, is there anything, because he knows if you eat something, you can grow this way. He said, is there anything you can eat that makes you go this way? I said, if you hang upside down for an hour a day, it might stretch you out or something like that. And then I was pointing out, I said, look, you know the advantages of this? I said, you know, you can get a second class seat in an airplane, you know, econo class. You're going to feel like you're in first class, you know. Small is beautiful, you know. You get discounts on your room. And when you pack out the car, you know, you can get a small seat in the car and still be comfortable. And I told him, actually, nobody's satisfied with this body. Just stick with what you got and work with that. Make the best deal of a bad bargain. So I actually give my attention to a paper that suggests something which is, it's novel, it's interesting. Has no backing. The person himself has never come, by his own admission, has never come in contact with a personality within whom he can find fulfillment other than the books. So if you said that, let's say, Jayapataka Maharaj, who won't, but if he did suddenly vanish or something like that, I'm not saying it's probably just say vanish from devotional service, you'd have 10,000 people possibly looking for the prominent link. Well, 9,000 of them don't read English. So, what's the value of that book? And if you think the translations of Prabhupada's books into Russian, Japanese, Arabic languages, African languages, even Spanish, are the same, you're sadly mistaken. Any of these people in any of these countries who can read English will read the English books before they'll read the books in translation. It's just one of the toughest things in the world to do. Especially to take it from English up to a higher language and express it. It's very, very difficult. In some cases, the translations are ridiculous. They're so bad. Some are closer. Spanish is actually pretty good. Pretty good. Because they worked on that a long time. And it's like the Spanish languages are easier. Because a lot of our words are very close to Spanish. Parliament, parlamente, apartment, apartamente. Very, very similar to the Latin languages. When you get into the Baltic languages, when you get into the Chinese languages, they're like, what do they used to say? Greek, and that's like Latin to me or something. It means it's very, very different. So you'd have 9,000 people who couldn't read Srila Prabhupada's book. So how would they find the link? And if you just let them dance and sing by themselves, they're going to come up with so many things you won't be able to imagine. You come there in 100 years and see the stories that have evolved about Prabhupada when he went to USA, what they did. Okay, so anyway, back to the point. We should go to some established authority. But say you're not in a situation to do that. So there's one other, like, check and balance for something like a paper like this prominent link. Let's say you're going to present to the government of India a new plan for aerodynamics for the stealth bomber. Completely new radar system. You've got it. And it's so different. It doesn't follow the rules of aerodynamics previously to this point. And this is what these papers do. They don't follow anything to this point. There's no parampara of this line of thought. It's a novel and quite new explanation or suggestion. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you were doing that with an airplane, then it would only be reasonable to say, well, what's your background? And before we even go through this paper and consider this seriously, you would have to demonstrate to us that you understood properly all the previous laws of aerodynamics and radar system and all this thing, how to be invisible in the sky. Right? And if you couldn't, then it'd be very doubtful that your new system could be accepted. Very doubtful. Every doctor, there's not just some idiot comes out of the wood and discovers a new cure for a new disease. It's not like that. Doctors who know medicine, who know disease, who know patterns of virus, who do this, they're on the trail of things that are, you know, evolutionary, revolutionary, new, not available now. But quacks don't invent these things. People with a background. So the question would be, Prabhupada's a prominent link. To what? What does he link to? And you just can't... There's two levels of explanation. One is prakriti, in this world, and the other one's called aprakriti, the spiritual world. I heard, I don't know if it's from this paper, but somebody was writing a paper recently that said that Bhakti Vinod was taken to met Ananda Manjari in the spiritual world. Ananda Manjari gave him introduction to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami gave him introduction to Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada is taking us direct to Radha and Krishna. Joy. So my reply to that person would be, they went this way through all the steps. Prabhupada goes direct to Radha and Krishna. What would be the advantage of that? They would have to explain. Where does that situate you in Ras? Direct to Radha and Krishna. What does that mean? You're a Shaki? You become Astashaki? Astashaki is a manifestation of Radharani. Now you become Astashaki. Do you even know what an Astashaki is? Do you even know what a Manjari is? Or what the Rasa is? Do you even know what love is? Any of these things, you have a clue what this is. When you say Prabhupada's the link, to what? And you just can't say Krishna. That's a big topic. Which Krishna? Which type Krishna? Which Ras Krishna? What? You follow the parampara as Prabhupada gave it to us. No, it takes you step by step by step all the way to Rupa Goswami. Takes you to the Manjari class. Takes you to the service in Radha Krishna and certain areas. You even have your place of eternal residence. That's Govardhan Hill. That's revealed by Raghunath Das Goswami. All the particular details are there. And yes, you want to jump over all that, we go to Radha and Krishna. The experience of the devotees often becomes the Shastra. So not just books, but our experience has value. And every experience doesn't get written down in Shastra. You know, that would be so many books, you couldn't read them all. So you can go to a Vaishnava, if you feel comfortable in that situation, and gain from his experience. That's what we did with Srila Sriramars and Srila Purimars. They shared an experience of close to 100 years of devotional service. And in some cases, they walked you through the thick and the thin. Yes, we also thought like that. We were young. Yes, we also made this mistake. Srila Sriramars pointed out. These mistakes we made. Be careful. Absolute good, absolute harm. Guru is an autocrat. He can do great good or great harm. But you can't remove the principle that Guru is an autocrat. He doesn't work under a committee. Prabhupada didn't work under a committee. He'd fire the whole committee. But you say, well, he was Prabhupada. But what's that mean? Yes, he was Prabhupada and he was Guru, and Guru is under no one. So Sridharmar suggested the Guru should have a committee to rein each other in if such was required. And it got required real quick because people got outrageous and there was practically no way to control But the real thing behind it is, someone asked me, he said, well, then shouldn't there be a way to control? And really, you have to deal with reality, but you should know, if you need control, you shouldn't be a guru in the first place. You should be already under control of Krishna, any guru. You're just a servant, you're just a slave. And you are so committed to that, you cannot break those shackles, that bondage, you cannot break. Then you should do that. If you're still the type that your senses can just drag you all over the place, and you can ride and run around in sports cars and end up drinking beer and all these things, and you need a group of God brothers to control you, well, you shouldn't bother this in the first place. That shouldn't be there. So with that kind of heart, we may take up any service. And we may also have a group or a committee or a council, but it can't be, you can't regulate us. If you're a non-sannyasi, it's very hard to regulate a sannyasi. Or I say, sometimes a god brother in the older days used to come to me and ask something about household life, and I would say, you know, whatever I tell you, I don't know if I'd follow if I were you. Because I don't know anything about household life. Mm-hmm. You know? I said, try to find an experienced householder with some success in householder life and ask him. He asked me the whole damn message, Maya. So you're asking the wrong person. One time this, what was it? Was it Bindu Mata? Somebody. Oh yeah, it was Bindu Mata. His wife. They went before Srila Parimaraj and asked if they could have children. And he said, yes. And then Mata said, she started to inquire further. He said, I don't know. Ask someone who knows. I'm a brahmachari. He's asking, well, should we have some scar or when should we get a child? He said, I don't know. Ask a householder. You know. And he was like almost 100 years old when this occurred. It's not that he was going to get agitated by thinking about the answer. He didn't know. I mean, he was from a family and saw what family life was from a child's point of view, but he was a brahmachari. His whole life lived in ashram. He didn't know. And all those babus coming in and out of the temple, he probably thought, like most of us do, you're all in Maya. Household life means Maya. So, we should go to someone who knows about something, you see. And if we think nobody knows, we know better, then we're like Duryodhana, demoniac. When he went out to find someone more qualified than himself, he couldn't find anybody. He came back alone. When Yudhisthira went out to find someone less qualified than himself, which shouldn't be too hard. I mean, he's Yudhisthira, he's had all the training in Dharmashastra. He'd walk out the door and see a shoe cobbler and say, come with me. You know, and I found someone less than myself. He couldn't find anybody either. Each returned empty-handed. One thought, I can't find anybody better than me. I seem to be more qualified than anybody in the kingdom. I guess I'm the most qualified. And the other one couldn't find anybody less qualified than himself. So which parampara are we in? We look and we can't see anybody with qualification, only those books laying over there with the yellow covers on them. That means we're Duryodhana Sampradaya. We can't see qualifications. You should feel so low in yourself, everybody looks like they could do you a good deed. But they, because they've had a bad experience with faith, they may be obstructed for many lifetimes, or at least one more, until they can come back with a clear memory of nothing and start again. It's the most, Srila Sridharma used to say, the most difficult thing there is to put your faith in someone in this world. Look what happens again in family life. When a boy, a girl, a man, and woman put their faith and that's obstructed. I mean, that sometimes, in the material world especially, even amongst devotees, sometimes becomes a hateful affair. Prabhupada said, ends in ghastly murder. That O.J. Simpson blew away his wife and his boyfriend. This happens all the time. In Europe, in France, you don't go to jail for that. It's called crimes of passion. It's accepted. You see? Well, where's the love? You know? So when we want to punish that other person, you reject me? Yeah, I'll find another girlfriend. I'll find another wife. Heck, I'll show you, you know? Blah, blah, blah. Fight in court, get the kids, go round and round. Go round and round 3 times, 4 times. My sister's been married 5 times. You know, it's very common. 3 times, very common. So So there's a problem there when our faith is violated. It's very painful. So in spiritual life, people put their faith somewhere, and it gets violated. And sometimes the path of recovery is very difficult, what to speak of once it's been violated three times. I know some people have been through three or four gurus. And saying anything to them about guru tattva is just about a waste of time. It's just like, gee, read the books. It's very, very difficult. You almost conclude, yeah, whatever, this person does not have the sukriti to connect to an established current line of any type. It just keeps vanishing. They seem to be interested, but Krishna seems to be reciprocating something that just, you know, like putting the candy in the hand and pulling it back for some reason. This doesn't give them. So, you know, we can't sound like, or I shouldn't sound like, it's bad to sound like you're tooting your own horn type of a thing. But if you want to know, you should go to those who know, or to those who have gone to those who know. And people who have never met a Paramahansa, who have never served, never actually served them, carried out their order. And it says, Prabodhananda says, who has not actually taken the foot dust from the actual feet of the pure devotees of Mahaprabhu can never know the mysteries of devotional service. You have to come in the line as a submissive servant, not just go to the books. So, that's what we're doing in Krishna consciousness. Servant of the servant. Not to become master, not to rise up and take various positions and things like that, but to become servant of the servant. But if we don't have faith, we can't do that. So there's a problem there, these types of papers and conclusions. A number of problems. And in time, they will be relegated to the shelf somewhere. They will not be the scepter in the living line of dissident succession. And it will go on, whether we fail or not. Fail or succeed, even if we fail, what I mean is going on somewhere. If the line of Prabhupada wants to relegate itself to books like the Sikhs and worshipping books and Ritvik priests, the Sikhs are all Ritvik priests and have their little hierarchy of priests and their donation schemes and tithings and do all this, fine, they can do this. But somewhere else out of Mahaprabhu's line, it's going to live on. And the real philosophy and the real relation between guru and disciple, I mean, that's the juice of life, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, why wouldn't you want somebody else to have that somehow? Even if you don't feel, well, I'm not a guru, but I can just tell you by my own life's experience, you really want to have a guru, I'm telling you, that's everything. So go find him wherever, I don't care if he's black, white, man, woman, hell, even if he was an animal. Somehow you need a guru, because in there, that's life. That's the life. And everything else is just a... It doesn't matter. Isn't that what you experienced? If there was no Prabhupada, there was only books. You want to have that living connection with your guru. There's affection there. There's love. You don't glean much love from books. You can perceive that this person wrote the book, has great love or affection. You can perceive things, but you know, there's a day that you live in. You move from here to there and go here and see friends. What if everybody's just cold as ice everywhere you go? You know, no God brotherly, God sisterly love and affection. No, I just like, not very attractive. One devotee asked me once, Maharaj, when are you coming for darshan, Krishna Balaram? I said, yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? He goes, well, come on up to the temple. I said, no, I don't really want to go to cause a disturbance. He goes, nobody cares. Just come on. I said, well, that's the point. Why should I go where no one cares? You know, there might only be a few people in my house, but I love where I live. And you know what? I like that. I like that. I love those people. So why the hell should I go where nobody cares? You know? Go where you're loved, where you're wanted. And that's nice. And everywhere else is like roaming the market. Nobody cares. You're on the street, rickshaw. He'll take you to a certain point. He doesn't care. Nobody. That's like, yeah. Get out of the market. You come home, you take a bath after associating with these people. So I was trying to make the point that neutrality is a negativity. Being neutral, the Black Panthers, what's his name? Bhakti Tirthaswami used to tell us, and the Black Panthers, they had a philosophy, neutrality. If you're neutral, you're part of the problem. There is no neutrality. Mm-hmm. Neutrality goes to the part of the problem. The one lady, once I was getting my driver's license, she said something about voting or something. Are you registered to vote? I said, no, I've never voted in my life. She goes, yeah, that's why we got people like Clinton. I was like, I guess you're right. I don't live in this country. But she was right. You know, I don't vote. Yeah, that's why we got idiots running the country, cheaters, whatever. You know, her point was, if you care, then do your duty, do your part. Well, you know, I'm doing some other duty, so, but it was right. So, neutrality, then you're part of the problem.